Welcome to This Podcast is written on the back of the Declaration of Independence, a show in which we set up an underground truffle hunter fight club. Ooh.
It's pig.
It's pig. It's oink oink, bitches.
It's piggy time. Hello, it's us. We're a week late, but we're here. We've had some scheduling snafus.
Things are busy, pals.
And
ain't no time.
I will say this right out of the gate. We are recording on Bonfire Night. Which is a fucking stupid idea. Because
yeah,
we live
like,
in a city centre and there's going to be fireworks.
Yeah, we're like an hour out from the main firework display. So we're kind of hoping that we'll get this over and done within enough time that it won't be too disruptive.
But if you hear a pop or a fizzle or a whee in the background, that's a fireworks.
Is that the noise fireworks
that's,
make?
Yeah, those horrible ones.
Wow.
They go, like, swizzly in the air.
And they're so disappointing, those ones, because they don't even have, like, a fun
They just go
light
and then
end.
Yeah, they just
You
end.
Just get a tiny little trail and then, like, a little fork of blue light or something.
Anyway, coming soon to your RSS feed is...
Us audio describing Bonfire
Bitches or whatever.
Bonfire Bitches.
Our brand new podcast.
I love it.
So Pig is our film this time.
Tell
around.
Us about it.
Pig is the pitch meeting goes like this.
Okay.
John Wick.
Right.
Meets Marley and Me. Meets Chef.
Okay. That's an interesting combination of films.
With a pig. Nicolas Cage plays a truffle farmer.
Yeah.
Who lives in the woods, a sort of a reclusive, extreme Nick Offerman-esque person. And one day he wakes up in the middle of the night to hear a car pulling up to his shack. He gets smacked over the head and someone has stolen his prized truffle hunting pig. So he goes into the big city with his sort of dealer friend?
I think Nick Cage is kind of the deal. Oh, no. No, you're right.
His sort of truffle dealing friend.
He's dealing them to restaurants.
Yes. They go into the big city to discover where the pig is. And
the big city being
Portland, Oregon.
Oregon.
Yes. Portlandia, of all places, is the big city in this film. So, I mean, that's the basics of the plot. There's a lot more going on.
Yeah.
But that's the basics. What did you think of this out of the gate? I'm very intrigued. We've literally just stopped watching this. So I'm intrigued to hear what your thoughts are.
I had a good time.
Yeah?
I enjoy this kind of slow mumblecore stuff.
Mm.
Where I'm sitting there going, oh, but what does it mean? And probably... there's not a lot to the meaning, really.
The meaning is loss. It's about loss.
It's about loss,
right?
And healing and what is important in your
passions,
life.
Passions. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is lovely. And I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was very different to what we've done on the show so far.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done a lot where Nick Cage isn't at least a little bit wacky, or something about the film isn't a bit wacky.
Yeah.
I think... even in things like Colour Out of Space or Mandy and stuff, where the film is being quite serious, there's still wacky nonsense.
Well, the thing that came to my mind watching this, the only comparisons I could make, was maybe things like The Family Man and The Weatherman, the kind of the more sort of tender romantic Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but there's still
But that's obviously sort of romantic comedy, whereas this is just sort of love and loss and longing for things that aren't there anymore. But it's still very tender and sweet in its weird, brutal kind of way.
Yeah. The only vaguely wacky thing is the concept of a man's pig gets stolen, he's going after it. And I was expecting...
The byline is the wacky thing.
I was expecting John Wick with a pig. I was expecting a rehash. I was like, it's Nicolas Cage, his pig's getting stolen, he's going to tear the fucking town up looking for his pig.
Yeah. And it
that
kind
is
of
not the case.
Threatens to go that way in a few places, but it doesn't do it at all. Yeah, I loved it. It did take me some time to warm up.
Yeah.
I think partly because I didn't know what I was in store for.
Yeah.
So that first sort of half an hour, 45 minutes-ish, I was a bit like, who the fuck is this? Who is this for? What is this? Like, what are we going for here?
Yeah.
But then once that, particularly that restaurant scene happened.
That's quite late. That's about halfway through
about
the film.
About halfway through the film.
Yeah.
Things started to get solidified for me into what I was watching and what they were trying to do. And I loved it.
It very much starts off as a sort of quite a simple quest. You go to this person who you think knows who's taken it. Then you go to the person who's taken it. You go to the person who they've sent the pig to. It's very much a very simple kind of trail. And then about halfway through, you almost forget the trail.
Yeah, because we know at that point who's responsible.
Yeah.
So it doesn't become...
And it becomes a completely different film halfway through.
Yeah. I mean, straight out the gate, I could just highly recommend this.
The people of Amazon may disagree, but we'll get to that later.
But I love this.
I think it was interesting that you said Cage, that is like a Nick Offerman type character. Because my first note was, Bear Grylls, ? Is this anything?
It's not really, is it?
It's not really anything. It's not anything, but he's like Bear Grylls, outdoor survivalist.
If I didn't like my PlayStation and Disney Plus streaming service so much... Yeah. I would love this kind of lifestyle.
Off-grid, cabin in the woods.
Yeah, if I could... Oh, big beard, living in the woods, looking at the world, reading books and sitting on a rocking chair, drinking kombucha. It would be lovely.
Sorry, what?
Kombucha.
Kombucha. You're adding an extra K where there is none.
Kombucha.
That's the one.
But it just seems lush. Seems like a fucking great mountain man hipster lifestyle, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I will say, I'm going to re-enter a segment that in my head is now called The Hotometer. Where we just devolve into talking about is Nicolas Cage hot in this film or not.
Is he?
I think he's very attractive in this film.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Like, that mountain man look was really working for me.
That's really interesting.
I think this is one of the most attractive ways he's looked in a movie.
Okay, that's
not
very
at the beginning. The first 10 minutes, I was like, oh, he looks dirty.
The more bloody and dirty he gets, the more attractive he is.
Yeah,
because that's weird. I'll be honest, I'm not seeing that myself. I like that he's clearly, like aging into himself,
right?
As a performer, it's nice to see that. I feel like maybe if we watch Willy's Wonderland next, we might see him go against that grain,
because feels that's all 80s t-shirts.
That
and...
feels very much like a hair dye kind of situation. But it's nice to see him not use the black hair dye and like admit that he's graying and he's older
and wearing this gross old onesie.
Yeah, he's got like his
clothes.
Thermal That's sort of it. Onesies on, hasn't he? And,
yeah.
And that you find that hot?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. How does this speak for me, though? If that's what you find attractive, do I smell? Is that what I'm saying?
No comment.
Fucking hell, mate. I'd like to comment straight out the gate.
Okay.
I fucking love pigs.
He really does, listeners. I don't think Callum's ever communicated quite how much he loves pigs.
I love pigs. I like dogs, but you know how most people react to dogs.
Yeah.
When they really like dogs, I react like that to piggies. I like pigs. I like to little...
You would rather be in a petting zoo for pigs than around a baby.
Oh, fuck
easily.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I think everyone would, wouldn't they? Pigs, babies, better. But I love pigs. I'm genuinely I don't know if Chelsea can see this, but me talking about pigs, my eyes are actually watering a bit.
He is actually grinning, listeners. I'm actively grinning.
Happy talking about pigs. And this pig's amazing.
Oh, it's a beautiful pig.
Beautiful pig. Has a little beard to complement Nicolas Cage's beard.
Yeah.
It's little sort of that reddish, sort of burnt fur kind of look to the pig. Lovely, lovely piggy.
Welcome back to Pig Watch, listeners, where we talk about our favourite pigs.
It's our new podcast, Pig Bitches.
Why are we bitches in everything?
I don't know. Untrained pig.
What?
Not an actor pig.
No.
Just a pig pig.
Ooh.
Didn't have the money to hire an actor pig, i.e. Babe Pig of City. Yeah. So just got a pig and got it to do things.
Wow, that's impressive.
Supposedly bit Nicolas Cage.
Oh no.
At one point, I will read the quote. In an after film Q&A, director Michael Sarnowski revealed the pig only had 3 days of training and bit Nicolas Cage multiple times. After a particularly nasty bite, Cage joked, "I've been set on fire, I've been in flipped cars, but it will be sepsis from a pig bite that kills me." This pig could do no wrong, and...
Well, hello, let's be real. No pig could do any wrong in your eyes.
No. This is... You know when people go, "Oh, I can't watch I Am Legend because the dog dies."
Yeah. Spoiler alert for I Am Legend, the fucking 15-year-old movie or whatever it is.
If you haven't seen it, just don't bother. why are the zombies CGI?
I watched that in religious studies, you know. It was something to do with morals and ethics, I think.
Okay.
So we watched I Am Legend and a lot of Vicar of Dibley. We had a cool RS teacher.
Hey, we had cool history teacher and we watched Blackadder and Dad's Army.
Do you know what?
When he couldn't be bothered to do
lessons.
I don't
know if this is a British thing, but it's always a geography teacher or a history teacher where you know that at least 50% of your lessons you're just going to be watching a VHS of something.
Yeah.
I watched so many things. Mine was geography. There were two older gentleman geography teachers. And I watched Dante's Peak four times in their classes. I mean, it's a great film.
Coming soon to your RSSS feed. Dante's Peak Bitches.
Dante's Bitches.
Dante's Bitches. Man, that film genuinely rocks. Watch it again. I watched it maybe 2-3 years ago. Great. Great film. It's got Bronhon in.
We all love Bronhon.
It's got Bronhon in. It's a great film. And the special effects hold up and there's that bit where the woman burns in the lava. It's great.
Also, Bronhon is a brilliant example of a man who ages into himself and still looks super hot.
The best thing about the Amazon Prime Cinderella film is how hot Bronhon looks.
Oh, don't watch that. That's not worth the ache.
Anyway,
it's awful.
Massive tangent.
Yes.
But yeah, so what I was saying...
We love the pigs, is what you were saying.
The pigs are great, and I'm so... Spoilers. I'm so very glad that we didn't have to see the pig die on screen.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I could have watched that. you know when people say, "I can't watch Marley and Me," or "I can't watch I Am Legend," or whatever, because the dog dies.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole website called, "Does the Dog Die?"
Oh, yeah, actively look at that website. Well, no, I want to look at that website, but then I'm afraid I will get upset just knowing that the dog is going to die.
So, but I'm so glad that we didn't have to see, Nicolas Cage, cradling his dead pig in his arms, because that would have messed me right up. Oh, gosh.
We're emotionally liberated on this podcast, listeners.
Yes.
Pigs dying is sad.
What is a truffle?
Now, see, this is a question I had. Is it some sort of herb or fungi?
I thought it was mushroom-based,
Like a vegetable? I don't know. Is it a mineral?
Because they smell it.
Yeah.
From under the ground, and then you see a shot of Nicolas Cage digging it up. And so it's under the dirt.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what it is. It just looks like a mound of dirt, to be honest, doesn't it? It just looks like a clump of dirt.
You're cool. Do you want me to do Google, or shall we remain in ignorance?
Let's remain in ignorance. Okay. I'm too fucking poor to ever eat real truffle.
The thing is,
the closest I get to truffle is like so Christmas expensive? Crisps. Yeah, exactly.
It's just shit from under the ground. Like, potatoes come from under the ground. Why is it so expensive? You're just gonna.
I think it's because
like, shave it onto things.
It's really hard to find. I think is the idea.
Because you need a special pig.
Because you need a special pig.
Well, no, Nicolas Cage doesn't need a special pig.
He needs the trees.
That's the whole twist. He just loves the pig. It's not for her value in as a truffle hunter.
No.
He looks at the trees and knows where the truffles are. He just loves the pig.
Yeah.
That's why it's so sad.
It's a pet.
It's a beautiful
pig. It's a replacement for his wife. But yeah, well, I don't know what the fuck a truffle is. I ain't never going to eat one.
And I kind of... So my question is, how does one get into truffle hunting? Is there a course? Like...
Is it a midlife crisis kind of thing? Like maybe. Metal detecting?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, no.
Do you just inherit the pig?
You're going to turn 40.
No, no.
And you're going to buy a pig.
Oh.
And it's going to happen. You're going to buy a pig under the guise of going truffle hunting. But you're not going to do that. You're just going to have a pet pig.
Yeah.
And pretend you're trying to learn to truffle hunt.
Yeah. I like this plan.
I don't.
Ever heard of a lion?
Hey, have you ever been dragged to the sidewalk and beaten until you're pissed blood?
So one of the reasons that we're late in recording this podcast is because Halloween happened.
Yes.
And Halloween is quite a big deal for the two of us.
Our household is big on Halloween.
Halloween is big.
We could have recorded on Halloween, but it felt like sacrilege.
Yeah, it felt wrong. It's a bank holiday in our house.
Yeah,
Halloween.
Definitely, definitely.
So we couldn't record this podcast episode, so that's why it's a week late getting to you. But...
And also I'm doing a degree and have no time to record and watch films. But mainly Halloween.
Whatever, yeah, mainly Halloween.
Yeah.
One of the films we watched was M. Night Shyamalan's Old.
The Beach That Makes You Old.
The Beach That Makes You Old.
Yes.
We watched
what
that.
A nightmare.
We watched that. And this film, Pig...
Yes.
Has old teen in it.
Yes. By which Callum means the actor who plays the little boy who turns into a teenager and then a middle-aged man.
Before he turns into the Stanley Tucci lookalike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Callum was absolutely convinced he was going to become Stanley Tucci by the end of the film.
Spoilers for the film Old. You go to the beach, you get old.
Yeah? I don't think that's spoilers. That's in the trailer.
And, but you keep getting older. Like, you go from little baby to little kid to
that's
little teenager.
That's also in the trailer. Anyway, yeah.
There was a bit where we see most of the film you spend with them as teenagers.
Yeah.
These two characters. One of them is played by Alex Wolff, who's the kid from Hereditary who gets his sister's head chopped off.
Who is also in Pig, hence why we are now making another tangent to talk about Old Beach.
Alex Wolff and his sister... are getting older and older and older, and you spend the majority of the film with them as teenagers, and then suddenly, like, night passes and they wake up and they're older again.
They're middle-aged.
They're sort of middle-aged, sort of maybe in their 30s or 40s at most, you know? And I was so adamant, because we had about 20 minutes left of the film.
Yeah.
Was so adamant. It's an M. Night film, so we got a twist coming, and here is my pitch for the twist for Old. The twist isn't story-based.
Right.
The twist is based within the world of the movie. That's a new twist for Shyamalan. Yeah?
Yes.
The twist is that you haven't advertised it, but when these people get older, they're going to turn into Stanley Tucci and Sarah Paulson. Because when they came out as sort of 35-year-olds, they looked like de-aged, wigged up. Stanley Tucci and Sarah Paulson, or at least close enough castings that was the idea.
They very much did, to be fair.
With some, like, maybe, like, other actors dubbing them over, like, the two actors' voices, like, smushed together or something like that.
Yeah.
So that then maybe they would try and escape and then we'd cut back to them in, like, an hour's time and, oh, boosh, it's Stanley Tucci or whatever.
Yeah.
And Sarah
Paulson.
So, like,
Paulson a reverse Drew Barrymore in Scream.
Scream, exactly. And
where
that
you only
was
get
the
famous people at the end.
That was the twist of Old. But it didn't happen.
That wasn't the twist of Old. I called the twist of Old very soon into the film. Because She's doing a creative writing degree. She knows where that script is going. M. Night can't fool me now, bitches.
Anyway.
He can't fool me.
Old teen is in this.
Yes,
Alex Wolff.
Alex Wolff, the old teenager.
Playing Salt Bae. From the new Salt Bae restaurant.
He does look like Salt Bae when we first meet him.
When he first turns up, he looks like Salt Bae. He's got the kind of slicked back hair. He's got the small, round, sort of John Lennon sunglasses
it's the
going
glasses,
on.
Particularly
The little sort of wispy moustache goatee combo going on.
The suit.
Yeah, he looks like Salt Bae.
So Salt Bae is our truffle dealer, for clarity.
Yes.
Salt Bae is our truffle dealer and second actor, I guess, in the film.
I like this Alex Wolff kid.
Yeah.
Everything I've seen him in, I've been like, yeah, you're good. He's the best thing in Old, I think, probably.
Yeah, I struggled because I think it's M. Night Shyamalan, so none of it sounds like real talking.
No.
And also...
Oh, it all sounds like he ran the script through Google Translate
a few times.
Yeah. Like, it does. It just does.
And it just lends itself to that kind of melodrama. So I didn't go much on his performance in Old, but that's not to say that it wasn't good.
Yeah.
In comparison to everything else. I think I was too bogged down in everything else being quite shit.
I mean, man, there's a lot of stuff going on in that
film.
Oh,
boy. We'll do an episode on Old at one point, just because we've got a lot to say about it.
I would love to talk about Old for a bit.
We could do an M. Night
spin-off
podcast.
Oh, no, fuck no.
Can you imagine watching all of that?
We're not doing M. Night Bitches. We're not doing it.
Yes, we are.
We're not doing that.
Hey, if we're doing Firework Bitches.
That means we got to watch...
You're going to have to watch Sixth Sense for the second time ever.
Yeah. It means we've got to watch fucking Last Airbender and After Earth and... yeah, there's some real stinkers in there.
Let's forget I ever said that.
We can watch The Happening again, though. You've not watched The Happening, have you?
I don't think I have. Is there a remake?
Nope. It is
so
Mark Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel as a couple in a horror film.
Why would you ever cast those two as a couple in a film?
She's a school teacher and
of course.
No, he's a school teacher.
Right, okay.
And anyway, basically people start randomly killing themselves.
So I know the concept of The Happening.
Yeah.
But the reason I feel like it's a sequel is because I feel like it's linked in my mind to like the Mist remake, and there was like a period where they did loads of remakes of sort of
the old sort
low
of
budget
Hammer
horror film.
Yeah, the Hammer era, Peter Vincent Price sort of Peter Cushing era.
And I don't
horror.
Know if it was at the same time as those, or whether I was experiencing them in the horror section of HMV at the same time, and therefore have linked them in my brain.
Yeah, I think it was maybe a little bit after that craze of things like 13 Ghosts, and we're redoing The Haunting, and we're redoing House of Wax, and stuff like that. It's a bit after that craze. But I can see why the name lends itself to that as well, doesn't it? The Happening.
Anyway... this is not what we're here to talk about.
No.
Let's talk about the film we actually enjoyed.
Have you seen Chef? Oh,
you know I've seen Chef.
I like Chef.
Chef is genuinely a super underrated film. I really enjoyed Chef.
But I bring this up because I feel like this film has a very similar moral to the film Chef. But very, very different ways of portraying them.
Remind me,
Chef
please.
Being a film about the love of your art of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And how it isn't necessarily about the money or the pomp or the circumstance. Mm-hmm. It is about making good food with good people to have good times.
Yeah.
And this has a very similar, slight echo of that moral, where... Alex Wolff and Nicolas Cage go and make a nice dinner for their dad, who's a fucking asshole.
Hang on. Not their dad.
Their dad. The dad.
For Alex Wolff's dad.
For Alex Wolff's
He's
dad.
Not also Nicolas Cage's dad.
Go make a dinner for his Nicolas Cage's not dad. Alex Wolff's dad.
Because we haven't explained, Nicolas Cage used to be a chef before he went... I think it's implied before his wife passed and he kind of cut himself off from everyone.
Yeah.
Went off the grid.
Yeah.
Left his restaurant to one of his chefs who ended up being a baker.
Yeah.
So for me, that didn't give me chef vibes, because while that message was there in terms of food being really important and food actually being quite an emotional thing.
Yeah.
For me, it was Ratatouille.
Yeah.
It's the end of Ratatouille, where Egon the Critic has a bite of Ratatouille and like his life flashes before his eyes.
Takes into his childhood,
doesn't
it?
And he just starts crying, and that's what that was for me.
I also got the chef thing, though, from when they go to visit the posh chef called Derek at his posh restaurant.
Yes.
And they're eating the scallops, and Nicolas Cage is saying, "You used to be a sous chef for me."
Yes,
and
like, you lasted 2 months before you got fired.
But you wanted to open a pub.
Yeah.
You didn't want to open this, like a fancy deconstructed restaurant thing. You wanted to open a pub, a proper pub, and you were going to serve like... And he was like, what was your main meal going to be? And he talked about like a...
Liver
scotch egg or something like that. It was like really like... But like hearty...
Fancy pub food.
Fancy.
That would make you smile.
Yeah. But like a and it was about like making your food.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that. I always like that. Like, you know, we're both actors.
Yeah.
So we've also both worked in the restaurant industry, serving tables.
Yes.
And we know that the majority of chefs are the most unhappy people in the world. And
because there's a ridiculous amount of pressure on them. But then they also
imbue that pressure on everyone else.
Yes, they are well known. If you've ever worked as a restaurant, not as a restaurant, in a restaurant.
I am restaurant.
I am the restaurant.
Yeah.
If you ever worked in a restaurant front of house, you probably are aware of the trope of the chefs are always angry. Do not anger them. Just let them shout at you.
Yeah.
And that unfortunately is the case too often. Because they don't always get to do what they want.
Yeah. But they also shouldn't be cunts.
Well, yeah.
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 But, I just like that. I just like that moral of, like, find what you like. And what Nicolas Cage likes is living with himself.
And a pig
in the forest. And cooking his own little food. And listening to his cassettes. Mm. And staying off the grid. And finding his truffles. And that's what he likes.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to be big famous chef anymore, like he obviously was.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Oh yes, he's a very well known chef.
Oh,
everyone knows his
name was opening doors kind of thing, wasn't it?
Like, literally, I think about four times his name gets him into a place.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about the scene in the fancy restaurant.
Yes.
This takes me to a segment that I like to call Help! I'm trapped in a glass Nicolas Cage of emotion. That's the voice for that segment now.
Okay.
just decided.
What part are you using then? What are you
going to
go
with? I don't think the cagiest cage in this film is Cage.
No, it's Derek, right?
It's Derek.
Yeah.
The only bit where Cage is cagey is when he steals a teenage / early 20s dude's bike and goes, "Bruh!" at him.
Yeah.
That's it. But in this scene, in the restaurant, Nicolas Cage is just very calmly provoking Derek, the chef, into telling him about what his actual dream was, what he actually wanted from his life, and why is he doing this deconstructed scallops in fir tree smoke.
Yeah.
Why is he doing this when that's not what he wanted?
Yeah.
And Derek loses it in the middle of his own restaurant.
Quietly. Like a quiet, like, giggly, nervous...
Yeah, don't mean loses it as in starts to shout.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he gets very uncomfortable and quite unhinged, I would say.
Yeah.
Everyone loves it here. This is a huge success.
Why didn't you open your pub?
I don't know that I really wanted. It was such a long time ago.
When I fired you, I asked you what you wanted to do. You said you have a few rooms upstairs. A real English pub.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Nobody wants pubs around here. It's just a terrible investment.
What was going to be your signature dish?
Liver scotch eggs with a honey curry mustard.
Period. But do you know what we haven't talked about?
Chef Fight Club.
Chef Fight Club.
Chef Fight Club.
And that is because you cannot talk about Chef Fight Club.
So that's that. Let's move on. That's the first rule. There's that's one of the weird things in the first sort of act that made me go, what is this?
What's going on here?
Because it starts out very tender and slow and everything. And then when they get to the big city, it's like sleazy and like... because the chefs all have there's a secret underground sort of building, basement, that's been left from a demolition.
Yes, it used to be a hotel.
Mm.
They demoed it, but left the basement, just built the park over it, basically. Yeah. And so the basement is accessible from the restaurant next door.
Yeah. Or like from a bunch of restaurants or whatever. Yeah.
Through the basements of the restaurant.
All of the chefs sort of meet up there. And, like, have punchy fights and take bets on...
punch sous chefs to see how long they can...
last. And I guess the idea is that it's making a comment on, like we were just talking about, the sort of the mentality and attitude that chefs have of being sort of this kind of hyper-masculine, sort of ultra-violet?
Ultra-violet!
Ultra-violent sort of types.
Yeah, and I think... it's not entirely his fault, but Gordon Ramsay has not helped that image.
No.
And I understand that he's not like that all the time and that is a persona.
But, yeah.
But it has helped chefs get that image and also get away with doing that.
Yeah.
Because you go, oh, that's just what chefs do.
Yeah. But they've sort of set up an underground boxing sort of fight club thing.
I assume as a way to kind of let out steam.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where rather than fighting, one person will stand still with their hands behind their back.
Like a sous chef.
Like a sous chef and be punched for a minute. And will be punched
for... The punchee bets money that they won't last that amount of time, I believe.
Yeah.
I think that's what it looked like. Again, it's not explained. We're making up the rules to Chef Fight Club because they weren't allowed to talk about it in the movie.
No.
So,
but yeah, it was an odd choice, and it made me think the film was going some other route.
Very much looked like it was going in a different direction.
And I mean, overall, I think that's what's kind of interesting is that this film isn't necessarily easily definable by genre.
No.
Because obviously it's a food film, which I guess in some weird ways is its kind of own genre. It's a drama.
Yeah.
And also it strongly feels like a sort of a gangster film at times.
At times, yeah, definitely.
Like some of the characters,
particularly in the
beginning. The world and the kind of the reactions and the sort of mechanisms of that world feel like a gangster film to me.
And also for me, there was a part where... So he goes to the first woman who runs this sort of... it looked like a truffle market.
Yeah, yeah.
And she knows the people who own the car that came to steal his pick.
Yeah.
So she takes Nicolas Cage to the people who own that pickup truck.
Yeah.
And as they're walking towards the window, there's a shot and I was like, ah, it's a Coen Brothers thing. It's like a rip on a Coen Brothers film.
Mm.
The way the shot was established, the characters we then met, and then it never came back again, and it did not turn into a Coen Brothers film.
Yeah, it could have been like, isn't this sort of a weird sort of...
like weird little community.
Community, cult sort of esotericness.
Yeah,
to it,
and it wasn't even that.
No.
I just... like the whole film, I was going, where is this going?
15 minutes of being in the woods with the truffle hunters, and we're off to the city exploring fine dining and...
yeah.
Like high cuisine restaurants. Yeah.
I had a good time.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about it and
be entertaining in any way.
There's nothing to rip into, in my opinion. Everyone's doing a great job. Every performance is solid. This is a cinematic debut for the director.
Oh, really?
Which is fucking incredible. I wouldn't have thought that.
There's some beautiful shots in this as well, whoever the DOP is.
Yeah, the cinematography's beautiful, the soundtrack's nice, everything's great.
Yeah.
Everything's great!
Yeah, it's a shame because it didn't get a cinema release, did it? That I know of, or did it in places?
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, I think the Prince Charles probably showed it.
Uh-huh.
You know, a few of those kind of cult cinemas, you might have found it in, like, a picture house or something, if you're lucky. But it definitely wasn't down the road at our view or Cineworld that we've got here.
No.
You know.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. It's a shame. It's a beautiful film.
Yeah.
And we'll give it 2 thumbs up.
How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned?
I don't know.
I have a question for you.
Oh, yes.
Do you still make your salted baguette?
Oh, man.
That made me giggle. I know it's not rude, but it sounded rude.
I just want bread, like warm bread and butter.
Yeah.
Oh.
It looked really good.
Yeah, warm bread and butter. And those little biscuits, some big sort of square cookies or whatever that she gives him. Oh.
Like, we don't see a lot of food being made in this film.
No.
But what we see of it looks beautiful.
Like that, I mean, obviously it you're not like a meat eater, but no. That dish at the end looks lovely.
What was it? Was it? It was some kind of bird,
wasn't
it?
Was it? Some gamey bird, I would say probably pheasant or something like that.
It was tiny, though.
Quail.
Maybe.
You know, it was a small, smaller than a chicken kind of gamey bird.
But it did, it felt a little bit like someone who might have done almost food documentaries in the past.
Maybe.
Things like that, because the shots of the food.
Yeah.
Was so spot on.
Maybe. Maybe. Don't know. Don't think so. Maybe.
It made me hungry.
Yeah, it made me hungry. We got beans for dinner.
Beans!
Cowboy beans! Have you got anything else you'd like to add?
No.
Okay, I think it's time for you to unfurl your stepmother phone case. And
I need it for reasons!
Chelsea's recently obtained one of those sort of leather flicky phone cases that you keep cards in.
To use the tube a lot now, and I don't want to be that person fumbling about with my bag trying to get my card. So I'm happy to look like a mum and type with 2 fingers. I'm over it now.
Anyway, have you got any Amazon movie reviews?
I have.
Can I guess? Lots of people either think it's the best film Cage has done in years, or it's slow and they don't get it.
Yep.
Great.
Maybe I won't bother then. What do you want first? Do you want people who loved it or people who didn't get it?
Give me someone who loved it.
Okay.
Alternate. That's
not the one I had ready.
Do someone who loves it, someone who hates it, someone who loves it, someone who hates it. Alternate. Change it up.
Okay. Vincent Gibbon. Great name. I love it. I'm there already.
I may well have already had the Gibbon. Maybe. I feel like we've had someone called Gibbon on as an Amazon movie review before.
Maybe. 5 stars. Because it's weird and off the wall.
Okay.
One of those Marmite films. You either love it or hate it. And I love that because people always qualify Marmite film with love it or hate it. And I feel like, know that already?
When someone says, oh, it's a Marmite film, I don't go, oh, is it really salty? Like, I think...
Taste of yeast?
Yeah. Oh, is it... is it treacly? Is it black? Does it have a yellow lid? Like, I know what the qualifier is.
I get the impression that N. Cage, and I'm now just going to call him N. Cage.
Nocky N. Cage. Yeah.
I get the impression that N. Cage enjoyed making this movie. It'll never be a huge earner, but as a fan fave, it may become a cult classic.
Yeah?
And here is where I feel like you will identify with Vincent Gibbon on a deep spiritual level. Shame the DVD has no extras, as I would have liked to know more about the film's inception.
Yeah.
That's so you.
Yeah.
He loves a DVD extra.
I do love a DVD extra. I think it's a lost art.
Nice bit of bonus footage for you.
Some bonus footage on the disc. Tell me about where the piggy came from.
I want to know. The credits were really small and I didn't have my glasses on. So I didn't know what the pig was called.
I want to know what the piggy's name was.
Okay, we'll find out. We'll dedicate the episode to Piggy. Gordon gives it 1 star.
Ugh.
Very disappointed.
Oh no.
With all the good reviews and a fan of Nicolas Cage, I was really looking forward to watching this film. But what a disappointment. So slow, and what's the point of the storyline? All the good reviews. Emperor's clothes? Question mark? Who is the Emperor in this situation? The film?
Yes.
And all the reviewers are saying the film is good, even though it's not wearing any clothes.
No, I think the idea is that, it's that he's suggesting that people who've said they've liked the film have never seen the film, and they're just saying it to go along with it. Because that's what we all said about The Emperor's New Clothes, being that only intelligent people can see this fabric. So everyone goes, oh, it looks beautiful, when actually there's fuck all there because no one wants to admit that they're dumb.
Okay. So now I feel silly for not having got that.
Bearing in mind, I've been in a production of The Emperor's New Clothes. That you saw?
I saw it a couple of times.
You did? It was quite a while ago, I'll give you that.
It was. Reading too many other stories now. Okay. Amazon customer gives it 5 stars, and I've chosen this review because we've made a lot of references to other films.
Yes.
And this has picked one film that I did not see coming, but I kind of understand in a weird way.
Oh, okay.
Amazon customer says 5 stars. Chocolat meets Fight Club. Cage is great.
Oh, I have never seen Chocolate before. So I couldn't tell you. I know the vague concept. It's like a sort of a French romance with Johnny Depp set in a chocolate shop, isn't it?
Yes. And I imagine what they're getting at is the foodiness of it.
Yes.
And the sort of lushness of the food.
The
involved.
Love of food and the sort of the cuisine and
But it's very
passion.
Not very much not the same vibe as Chocolat.
No.
But Chocolat meets Fight Club.
I mean, is there a bit in Chocolat where Johnny Depp goes, "I don't fuck my pig"? Because that happens in this film.
It does. Yeah. It does. Cage is great. Fans of National Treasure and Con Air, this is not for you.
It isn't.
Pig is nothing like Cage has ever done before, but he steals the show. A slow-burning atmospheric movie showing the underbelly of the surprisingly cutthroat restaurant scene in Portland. A strangely moral tale, too. Cage goes from hobo to healer. And finally, this username. Dogs Wonga. I'm trying to work out whether they're trying to use Wonga to mean bollocks.
No,
or
money.
Whether they mean money.
Money, surely.
But the dog's bollocks is a saying.
Yeah.
Dog's money is not a saying.
No.
Dog's Wonga.
But I've never heard anyone refer to their bollocks or willy as a Wonga.
No, I know. But I don't understand. Why has the dog got Wonga?
Because it's rich. It found truffles. It's a rich dog.
Oh, it's a truffle dog.
I don't know.
Dog's Wonga.
Dog's Wonga.
It says 1 star.
Sounds like a bingo site. Anyway.
Stop this. Moving on with the review. Dog's Wonga says 1 star.
Oh.
Hogwash. 3 exclamation marks.
That is quite good. Hogwash.
Hogwash is a good
word.
It's
about picky. Yeah.
I'm a fan. Absolute rubbish. I know Cage is not the most brilliant actor ever, but he's just doing any old crap nowadays. He must be a bit skint over in Hollywood to sign up for this. I bet he wishes he was still doing stuff like Face Off and then like 12 full stops, 3 exclamation marks and another full stop.
I mean, that is the kind of punctuation that Face Off deserves.
Yes, that is true. I will say I disagree with this. I think if Nicolas Cage is still short of cash, this isn't the sort of film he would take on to remedy that. He's made plenty of sell-out, put-money-in-my-pocket films, yeah. And this doesn't feel like one of those.
No. This feels like a legitimate attempt at a passion project. On that, I believe that this film has put Nicolas Cage into Oscar contention.
Has it?
I believe so. I believe there is currently a campaign going on.
To get it in enough cinemas
to get
let it qualify.
Pig, and particularly Cage's performance, are Oscar nominated.
It's a very good performance. It's genuinely one of his best, I would say.
Yeah?
It's very believable. It's quite touching.
Is this the second time we get that Cage gets an Oscar?
Maybe.
I would love to say yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I'd vote for him
if I
had that.
Yeah,
power.
I don't know who else I would. I don't really give a shit about the Oscars, really. So I don't know who else I would put up for it.
Mm.
You know? Certainly wouldn't be.
What have we seen recently?
Halloween Kills?
Yeah.
I know Jamie Lee Curtis for Best you know, supporting bed in the Halloween Kills.
Yeah, she does not have a lot to do, which is probably to her taste.
She doesn't probably even share the screen with Michael Myers at any point.
No, I know.
Weird film. I didn't dislike it. Lots of people really disliked it.
I didn't really dislike it. I didn't think it was amazingly good. But then how many Halloween films have we had? It's never going to get better than the first, is it? Yeah. So at least they tried to do something different.
Evil dies tonight, guys. Evil dies tonight.
Evil dies tonight.
Evil dies tonight.
That catchphrase came out of nowhere and Evil dies everyone tonight. Picked it up.
Evil dies tonight.
Tonight. That's why we couldn't record the podcast, because we were too busy killing evil, by which we mean Michael tonight. Myers.
Yeah. So that was Piggy.
That was Pig.
That was Pig.
Babe in the City.
Cage, Pig in the City. I would highly recommend this, as I've said multiple times. Big thumbs up for
Big
this
thumbs
one.
Up.
Big thumbs up for this one.
Where can we find it?
You can find this on Blu-ray and DVD. You can also find this on places where you have to pay for it, you cheap bastards.
yeah, it's not streaming anywhere. Yeah. But you can watch it online. We watched it via Chili.
Yeah.
Is it
Chili? You'll find it. Have a look. You can probably rent it for a couple of quid. And I would say it's highly highly worth a couple of quid.
The Big Bad are selling it for a fiver in a physical form, so I think renting it will be even cheaper.
Yeah. And, great. There's a pig. So next time on Pig Bitches, we're going to be watching the Toy Story quadrilogy and talking about Ham.
Exclusively. Nothing else, just the Ham scenes.
Nothing about Ham.
Oink, oink.
Anyway, yeah, that was Pig. Have a good one. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
3 weeks' time.
3 weeks'
How time. How time works.
Fuck. 3 weeks' time. We'll see you when the next one's ready.
Yeah. About 3 weeks.
Okay.
We'll try and get back to the normal schedule.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our silly little podcast. If you've enjoyed yourself, the best thing you could do for us would be to leave us a little review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps other people find the show. If you'd like to help us out a little bit more, you can find us on all the usual social medias at Nick Cage Pod. That's at NICCAGEPOD. I'm talking Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. And if that's still not enough, or if you've got a spare couple of quid burning a hole in your pocket, you can buy us a virtual coffee at ko-fi.com/Nick Cage Pod. After all, we need to pay for these ridiculous movies somehow.